Father, we thank you because you are God. We also thank you because you have called us unto yourself. And the reason you have called us is because you don't want us to miss out on the blessings you have initially proposed for humankind. Jesus is the point of restoration, and he's the source of life. And we are grateful that we know him. My Father, my God, my prayer is that after hearing your word today, everything that signifies the totality and the embodiment of your blessings will be our portion in Jesus' name. Lord, none of us will fall short of your glory. None of us will fall short of your blessings. Lord, let there be a highway in our lives for the inflow of your glory and your blessings in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. I will start by saying I was listening to somebody speaking a few days ago, and he was talking about one of the commonest phrases that people who preach use, and they include, "I will soon finish. I'm on to just the last point," and things like that. So I realize I'm not the only one who do such things. Praise the Lord. But I want to believe that we will, by the grace of God, endeavor now to finish at 12:30. You know, we want to make it a regular thing so that people who are coming to church will know when they're going to leave. And we want to believe that as a result of this, that members of the church will also come on time, knowing fully well that we'll finish at a fixed time. And I believe that God will give us the grace to do so in Jesus' name. Not that we want to worship time, because we need to be, it has to be a fine balance. But at the same time, we want to bring in some element of predictability to the timing. God will still move in our midst. That is my belief. Secondly, I want to believe that the message I'm going to share with us today is a call back to basics. When we look at, there is a tendency for us to keep running ahead and just keep running ahead and keep going ahead. And sometimes we forget the fundamental principles. We forget the essence of the race itself. And I want to believe that that is what God is going to bring to our hearing this morning. And as many in the house, as are in the house this morning, I want to encourage us that we are going to press our reset button so that we can run the race the way we ought to run the race. Of recent, I had problems with my computer. And not only, and the church also has problem. We are yet to fully fix that. So when Brother Jonathan came to help me fix the computer and the router or the modem? So at a point we got stuck. And so I remember he put in a CD. He went in and looked for at the manual. And we were told that we, in a situation like this, we had to press the reset button. And we did. And lo and behold, we got back in again. And things have been running fine. Sometimes as children of God, we need to press the reset button and start and things will start running fine with us. Can we open our Bibles to Amos chapter 5? The book of Amos chapter 5. We are going to read from verse 4. That is where we are going to be pressing the reset button from. Amos chapter 5, verse 4. He said, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." That's all I want to talk to us about this morning. "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." If you look at, in another translation it says, he said, "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me," that is, inquire for and of me, and require me as you require food, and you shall live. I think that is powerful, isn't it? And without any ambiguity, maybe I should read again. He said, "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me," that is, inquire for and of me, "and require me as you require food, and you shall live." I pray that God will take us to a point where we begin to inquire of the Lord and require the Lord the way we require food. I think it's a very powerful comparison. You see, when I look at things that are happening around us, and even some of the things that I read that are happening, not just limited to where we are now. So what I mean is that it's a global thing. Not only in the individual lives, but even within the body of Christ. If you look at the way things are going, you will find out that we are not seeking him, inquiring of him, requiring him as we require food. God is not saying to us here that we need to seek something else. He didn't talk about an indirect way of getting to him at all. He just says to us that seek me. Just seek me. The other thing I also noticed about it is that God did not even say find me. Do you notice that too? And if you look at many passages in the Bible, God's requirement has been what? Seek me. I can't remember any particular passage where God says, find me. All that God is asking you and I to do is what? He says, seek me. Even when Jesus was talking about the kingdom, what did he say? He says, seek. He just simply says, seek. And I believe that the totality of the business we have to do on earth is seeking God. He said, seek me. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. God, again, was speaking to the children of Israel about the need to seek him. In other words, all that we need to do as children of God is just to continue seeking him. to continue requiring him, to continue inquiring of him. He just said, seek me. He said, seek me. He said, seek me, and ye shall live. Of course, the life he's talking about is not an ordinary life. It's the fullness of life that Jesus too was talking about in John 10:10. But all that God requires of us, he says, just seek me. It's so simple. Seek me. Deuteronomy 4, 29 to 31. He says, but if from there you will seek, that is, inquire for and require as necessity the Lord your God, you will find him if you truly seek him with all your heart and mind and soul and life. When you are in tribulation, please take note of this. When you are in tribulation and all these things are come upon you in the later days, you will turn to the Lord your God and be obedient to his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not fail you or destroy you or forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. Is that not powerful? Is that not comforting? He says, when you are in tribulation, what did God say is the answer? He just said, simply, seek me. When it looks like you are overwhelmed with life, what did God say? He said, say, seek me. Look for me. He didn't say, find me. In other words, my understanding, my interpretation of it is this. Because he's not saying, find me, and he's telling you to seek him, he knows that there are two ways, there are two paths to the whole thing. Somebody is, you seek, and then you do what? You find. So there are two paths to it. The responsibility of God is to make himself available to you. But what God is saying to you and I this morning is that he wants people who will genuinely seek him. And you know what? You will find him. Because he will make himself available to you. The truth about it is this, is that we are in him. But he is so big. He is so big that we cannot find out the extent of the greatness of God. But what often happens is this, when we are faced with a particular situation or a particular circumstance, when we choose to seek the Lord has a way of showing that aspect of himself to us. If we seek him. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've seen some people who are prosperity preachers. Haven't you seen it? And they preach prosperity. And you see that they prosper, isn't it? Because they seek the Lord in that area of their lives. And you know what? God shows himself to them in that area. It's in the Bible. God met people. And he will meet you. And he will tell you. And you say, I'm Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healed thee. When he meets someone else, he will tell this person, I'm Jehovah Nissi. He meets someone else. He says, I'm El Shaddai, the Lord that is more than enough. When you seek him, the Lord has a way of showing up in that circumstance. and in that situation of your life. Also, I want us to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. I've been reading the Old Testament lately. That's what I've been studying. I've been going, you know, and there are some things that I find, I mean, that also I look at the way we live, and I just find out that they are not new, and they baffle me. And I say, God, it's still the same old way of doing things and getting results. And you know, somebody said something. He said the problems. He said there are no new problems. We may have new technology. But the same old problems that used to face man is what man is still facing. So the same old solution that used to be an answer to human problem is still the same solution now. You can see why we need to seek God. If God was good enough as solution in those days, he is still good enough as solution even today. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, and I will read there. It says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Again, we are coming to the same thing. That if we seek him, we are going to find him. In other words, if we seek him, we will find the solution to that situation in him. But if we forsake him in that circumstance, we may not find the solution in him. And I will show you some examples of people who forsook the Lord to find solution elsewhere. But that is not going to be our portion in Jesus' name. Before we go there, open with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read verse 11 to 14. Jeremiah 29. I'm trying to take us through areas where God has instructed that people seek him. He says, "For I know the thoughts and plan that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not of evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord." In other words, God says he has made himself readily available. He's not going to play hide and seek game with you. He just wants you to take that step of faith to commit to seeking him, to the exclusion of every other thing. I'm still reading verse 14. After God has said, "I will be found of you," he now goes on to say something. He said, and I will release you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I've driven you. In other words, when you find the Lord, God is saying, I'm going to release you from the burden of your current problems. I'm going to release you from the burden of your current challenge. I'm going to release you from the burden of your current upheaval. I'm going to release you if you can just seek me. I am going to release you from every situation that is perturbing you at this time of your life. You will find out that it is a circular process and it is a continuous process that will keep seeking the Lord. That is why I'm saying we may need to press a reset button. Can we open our Bible to Hosea chapter 10? That's the book before Amos, the place we started from. Joel is before it, and then Hosea after that. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. The Lord says, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I've broken to three, as in this verse, the things we need to do in seeking the Lord. Three main things that this verse has mentioned to us that we need to do in doing what? In seeking the Lord. The first thing that God is telling us to do, if we want to seek him, is that we have to sow. He didn't just say sow. He said, sow to yourself in righteousness. Sow to yourself in what? In righteousness. In other words, everything we do is a seed we are sowing. Whether it is good, whether it is bad, somehow we are sowing a seed. That's what God is telling us here. And that is why sometimes I'm very careful when I pray for people. When I say God will prosper all the works of your hand. No, because that's what the Bible is saying. When I pray for you and I say God will prosper all the whatever you lay your hands upon to do, you need to be careful what you lay your hands upon to do.